Amen. And just that thought, to meditate on the greatness of God, the Creator, full of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and created everything, put it all into existence, and yet he's thinking about each one of you tonight, individually, personally. He knows the things that are going on in your life. He knows the struggles that you face. He knows the fears, the anxieties, the worries. He knows everything. He knows it all. And he loves us, and he's with us. And tonight he wants to share his wisdom with us through the book of Proverbs. And as you're standing, if we could read just a few verses out of Proverbs chapter 4. Tonight's message comes from the scriptures. It's called A Diligent Heart. But in Proverbs chapter 4 and in verse 1 it says, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me. And he said to me, 'Let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth.'" Father in heaven, we do thank you for our worship, prayer, for our fellowship, and we pray for the visitation of your Holy Spirit over your word, over our hearts and minds. How important it is to be able tonight to get wisdom and get understanding from you, the giver of that wisdom, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We've all heard of an account of someone walking on the beach and finding this bottle in the sand, and they rub the bottle and a genie appears, and a genie says, "You know, you got one wish. What do you wish for?" And at that moment, you think of perhaps a lot of things that you might be thinking about. Maybe the answer would be billions of dollars. Certainly millions don't work on the earlier version of this genie. Billions of bucks, maybe possessions that could fill a warehouse, maybe fame and popularity, maybe a position of significance and power. And in some strange way, God himself asked Solomon, who would be king, taking the place of his father on the throne, "What is it that you want?" This is God eternal, not a genie in a bottle that's being rubbed, but God eternal, asking Solomon, "What is it that you would want?" And on that night, it tells us in 2 Chronicles chapter 1 that God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask and I'll give it to you." And Solomon said to God, "You have shown great mercy to David my father and have made me king in this place. And now, O Lord God, let your promise to David my father be established, for you have made me king over the people like the dust of the earth and multitudes. Now give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before the people. For who can judge this great people of yours?" And God said to Solomon, "Because this was your heart, and you have not asked for riches or wealth or honor or life of your enemies, nor have you asked for long life, but you've asked for wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people whom I've made you a king over. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you, and I will give you riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings who had were before you nor shall after you have anything like that." This is King Solomon, David's son. And David was a man after God's own heart, even according to the scriptures in 1 Samuel 13, chapter 13, verse 14, it says, "The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart." So David was a man after the heart of God. We know of his immorality and his failures because they're published in the Word of God, but it doesn't change the fact that he asked God to clean his heart and give him a new start. Also in Acts chapter 13, verse 22, "He raised up from them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. So here we are in the book of Proverbs. It's a book of wisdom. The book of Psalms is a book of worship. David, by the Holy Spirit, wrote Psalms. Solomon, by the Holy Spirit, wrote Proverbs. David was Solomon's dad. In our account, we hear father and son being spoken about. So Solomon had the advantage of David as his father. Can you imagine that? King David. There's been no greater king except Jesus, King Jesus, than David. And Jesus rules on the throne of David. And that was Solomon's dad. And the things that he learned from his dad. And there's things that we need to learn from our moms and dads. And I know we're living at times when there's great brokenness in the family structure. The nucleus of our society has been torn apart. But we still want to move to the Word of God, because God can meet those needs. When we're looking here in chapter 4, we're really looking at three generations. So we're looking at King David, and we're looking at his son, and then we're looking at those that come after him. And I think sometimes we need to widen our vision of what's going on, because the world is not just me or my wife, but we have family, we have you and fellowship and others. And when you're around people, and when you're representing the Lord, and when you have a timely word, and when someone comes to you and is saying, I'm stuck with a situation, and many times, as we have suggested in the past, that the request that many people make in prayer is that, could you pray? I need wisdom. I have an important decision to make. Can you pray for wisdom from God? And that's a great prayer. And maybe God will help you. Maybe you can say, you know, I've been praying as you requested. Here's some things that have been stirring my heart. I don't know if this is what God has for you, but you share it. And as you share it, we would trust God will use it. In some way, he will use your step of faith. You're not dictating to anybody. If you say, I've been praying for you, here's something that I feel the Lord has shared with me. I'm not sure if it applies to your situation. Obviously, you want to see God work in their life. But many times it's just exactly, and you'll receive a little text from, thank you. What you said was very helpful. And what happened is that you sought in prayer the wisdom of God. And you, through the leading of the Holy Spirit, shared it with somebody else. And because of that, that someone else is making a decision reflecting God's hand. And because of that decision, it's going to affect a number of other people. We're looking here and we realize the expanse is three generations. And we're looking at how he's addressing parents and how he's addressing children. The responsibility of parents to provide godly upbringing, and the responsibility of children raised with a godly heritage. Remember, to whom much is given, much is required. Now, we have in recent times on a number of different occasions have met people the ages of our own children or younger who have absolutely no reference to church or biblical knowledge, but there's a stirring in their heart for the things of God. And you have to remember how God has enriched our lives and how thankful we are for what he's doing in his hand, in his plans. And so in chapter 4, as we continue through in our verse-by-verse study, hear my children, the instructions of a father, and give attention to know the understanding. And so right away it singles out the importance of a dad and the importance that God has placed on a father in a home. And it's telling us that there is a sense of diligence and hard work for parents. The family is the nucleus of our society, but currently in a recent statistic within the last couple of weeks, 30% of single families make up the United States right now. And 40% of the babies that are born to those who are not married in the United States right now. Everything, the role of the father is to provide finances, security, living-wise, instruction about God and life, provide emotionally. Now, I wish I had a lot more conversations with my dad than I had. He wasn't much of a talker. There was 9 kids in the family, so there's probably a good reason that there wasn't a lot of individual time. He came from, as you many of you know, World War II background and then LAPD, and just his world and the things that he went from the battle overseas to the battle in the streets, and then coming home to 9 children in about 11 years is, because we had 2 sets of twins, pretty intense. So he was adding on all to our house all the time, and picking up side work as a policeman, working various professional games to pick up additional income. And so it's a little bit, I wish I had more conversation with him. He was a great example. So without conversation, there was great examples that he gave. And so I cherish those examples. At a very young age, I would say in early elementary school, certainly age of some, well, we had a, he got a 57 Chevy. I wish we still had it, that red and white one. And that was great. So I was born in 53, so I had to be 5 or 6 when we cleaned it one day and we waxed it. Then he took me up to a malt shop. And, you know, you actually sat in a malt shop on the stools that turn. That was big time. You know, waving to my sisters goodbye because I'm going with my dad, just me and dad. It was a special time. I remember he let me have more than one milkshake. He just was trying to be generous. I got home and got sick, and my mom was all over him. Why'd you do that, Raymond? I remember in high school as a senior just being a terrible rascal at home. And my mom always had dinner ready. Imagine this. We had plywood over the kitchen table so all the benches can go around so everybody can eat. And I remember coming home. It's at 5:30. You got to be there. But saying something like, "Are you kidding me? Is that what we're having tonight?" Or something like that. "I think I'll go to McDonald's," is what I said. And I just had my own VW 69 bug. And so I remember going out one door, and I remember my dad meeting me in another way. And he put his finger into my chest, and I can feel it right now going through my chest. But he just says, "Don't you ever talk to my wife again like that." I mean, he could have really took one swing, and I would have been across the street in the air. He didn't. But I learned stuff from him. And when we get to Proverbs, it's saying, "Dads, you got a unique place that nobody else has." Moms do too, because it'll say what a mother is. But in a God's order, he's given that place to give instructions. As a matter of fact, in Deuteronomy, in chapter 6, verse 4 through 9, you may be familiar. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart." Listen now. "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and of your gates." And what a blessing that is, just to think of that. Fathers, in Ephesians 6, "Do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his own children, that you would walk worthy of God who called you into his own kingdom and glory. So we're living at a time where the culture really downgrades men and downgrades dads. But you stand, men and young men that are growing into that role at some point of being a husband and being a father. Take heed to the instruction that God has given. There's a place that you have in a family that is uniquely designed and given by God. So if you can for a moment just think of there's a huddle on a football field, the quarterback is there, and the players are standing around him, and he's going to give the play. He's going to give the instructions. He's going to give the name and the number, and so everybody has an assignment. So Proverbs 4, we're in a family huddle, and Dad is there, and Dad, you've heard from God, And you have directions. You're going to lead the team. You're going to lead the family. We're going to break and move forward. Then we're going to huddle back up again. So what he's saying is to give instructions into verse 2, for I give you good doctrine. And so the word of God is sound doctrine. And he's telling us not to forsake his law. So let's not have opinions that are not biblical opinions. Verse 3, when I was my father's son. So Solomon is saying, when I lived in my dad, King David's household, when I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and he said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. How important those young years are. Every year is important, but there's something sweet and tender and innocent about those young years. And it's when the Word of God, it just goes in. And kids absorb it and they remember it and have the retention for that. The world is trying to steal the innocence of our young children. That's the goal. It's from the devil. It's from the pit of hell. And leaders are under the sway of the evil one, the wicked one. They're demonically possessed or influenced greatly by that dark, demonic world. And so the enemy knows, if I can steal the hearts of those young little children at a young age, if I can influence them, the media can get in their devices or whatever else, and you have to be very careful, mom and dad, grandparents and others, just how much you want to allow that influence, because it's a battle. It's a war. And the enemy has a plan, and he's moving ahead. So in verse 4, he also taught me, and he said to me, let your heart retain my words. So King David is talking to his son Solomon. And Solomon, who's writing Proverbs, is reflecting on this relationship. And he's telling us, in this book of Proverbs, how it works. Dads, moms, you're in a place to teach. And, you know, homeschooling, we homeschooled some of all of our children. But at the time that we did it, it was like Little House on the Prairie. And there was great eyebrows that were raised at that particular time when we started to do that. And it's like, well, what are you doing? But you know something. You are all homeschool parents. The school's in session at your house all the time, whether they go to, you know, a public school, a private school, or academies or whatever. There's many options out there. But mom and dad, school's always in session at the house. It's always a time. There's always lessons. There's always a time for love, for training, for encouraging, and for finding application to what's going on. And they love to hear you. They love to hear your thoughts. They love to understand when they're aware. They're far more aware of what's going on than you may realize, things that are influencing them. To be able to talk about those topics or those subjects is important. In verse 5, it's two exclamation points. Get wisdom, exclamation point, get understanding. So as you're reading the Word of God, the Word of God is saying, get wisdom, get understanding. God wants to help you and me. We cannot manage life right now without His wisdom and without His understanding, and He wants to provide it. So how does it work in a practical way? You're facing a situation. You have no idea of the outcome. It's going to have financial implications, family implications. A decision may affect many years ahead, maybe till the end of your life. I mean, it's a big decision. What are we going to do? We're going to get wisdom from God, and we're going to get understanding, and He will give it to you. God says, I'll give it to you. I'm going to give you wisdom. I'm going to give you understanding. So we have the Word of God. It's the Holy Word of God. We have the Holy Scriptures of God. There's spiritual gifts. There's gifts of discernment and understanding and other gifts. And so you rely upon God. God, I need your help. I'm a follower of yours. I love you. And I don't know where to go. I'm going to wait upon you. I'm going to, Lord, direct me. Where in the word might you direct me? I need your wisdom. Get wisdom, get understanding. It's urgent. I want it. I desire it. I pray for it. Solomon asked for it, and you gave it to him. And if you ask for wisdom, it tells us in James, he'll give it to you. But you ask in faith, believing, and not be like a ship on the sea tossed to and fro, but say, God, I'm praying for this wisdom. Then believe. God will meet you. God will show you. God will give you that. You begin to listen to the Word of God. You begin to read the Word of God. You may listen to, I listen to many Bible teachers throughout the week, many and many of them. And God uses the teaching because it's His Word. So He uses His Word to direct our paths. Verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. And I grieve inside as a fellow pastor with just other pastors, people that I've known through the years, but the Word of God is no longer the priority in their teaching ministry. And many have gone to more topical type of messages instead of just sticking with the Word of God and going through it. Because God, He will minister to you and to me through His Word. Verse 6, do not forsake her. And when it speaks of that, it's speaking about wisdom. Do not forsake the wisdom of God. The wisdom will preserve you. Love God's wisdom. The wisdom of God's going to keep you in verse 6. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. So you see, God wants to provide for you and for me. And it's not hypothetical illustration. We are facing important decisions week by week. Every one of us are. But we need the wisdom of God. Verse 8, exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor. When you embrace her, she will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory. She will deliver to you. So he's telling us, Solomon is repeating what his father did. He's relying on what his dad did for him. He's going to do to his next, to the next generation. We want to rely on moms and dads doing the job that God's asked them to do. Do not rely on the culture. Do not rely on the schools. Even, our children's ministry, as much as we love it, and as much as we are committed to bringing the Word of God, parents, we're not taking your spot. Hopefully we're encouraging what you're doing. Hopefully we're bringing just a greater illumination to the hearts of those young children. But basically, as we're reading Proverbs 4, we're hearing the heart of Solomon. He's just saying, hey, it's like writing a book about my dad. This is what my dad did. This is what he taught me. He listened to me. He told me the significance of the heart. The heart is like a treasure vault. It's a keepsake. And you want to be obedient as the Lord is leading you. 1 Chronicles 28:9. As for you, my son Solomon, David speaking, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. What great words. As you impart, men, that blessing to the next generation, might we steal the words of the word, my son, know the God that I serve. My son, my daughter, serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. When we think about Daniel and his friends, notice what it says in Daniel chapter 1, verse 19 to 21. The king interviewed them, and amongst them they found none like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore, they served before the king. They tested them. And in all the matters, listen, of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the astrologers and magicians who were in his realm. So he's saying in this pagan Babylonian kingdom that they had the hierarchy of these astrologers, magicians that did marvelous wonders. But the kings, when he examined, he says, actually, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're 10 times wiser and full of understanding. That's because at a young age, they got understanding and they got wisdom at a young age. So when they went away, they weren't influenced by that. When it says, get understanding, get wisdom, it's like going into a store when you're ready to purchase some merchandise. Get it. I mean, you want it. You want to possess it. There's a lot of things that one can pursue in life. There are a lot of things that one can acquire in life. But nothing compares to the pursuit of wisdom. Get wisdom. You get wisdom. You take this to heart tonight and you make that, I make that a pursuit in my life like never before. God will use you incredibly in these days. It's a day of great confusion that's out there. But to get wisdom, to get understanding, nothing compares to applying biblical truth. My question comes up, what causes it when it says to get it, not to forget it? What causes forgetfulness? What causes turning away? Well, John the Apostle would say in 3 John 4, I have no greater joy than to know that my children are walking in the truth. That's a great joy. And you know that as a parent. And as a pastor, there's no greater joy than to see you, knowing that you want God's word. You want his truth. You've experienced how his truth has set you free. Someone called me on the phone, left a message. He's like, the wording on your sign out in front is just not biblically accurate. It says, his truth will set you free. It should say, the truth. Call me. Yeah, right. Like, that's going to happen. Come get some wisdom, buddy, okay? He is the truth. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. I just you have nothing better to do than to look at a sign with the word of God on it and want to confront the pastor. It's like, these are crazy days. It's God's word. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. We want to make it really clear that we're about Jesus. Amen. Verse John chapter 2. In 1 John it says, I've written these to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. And you've overcome the wicked one. with our generation coming up, how do we make a difference? It's God's word. That's what makes a difference, is giving God's word, not holding back, taking time, giving the word of God to our children, to your children, to grandchildren, praying. Psalm 119, 9 through 11. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart, I have sought you. Your word I've hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. So we thank God for his word. We thank God to get wisdom. We exalt wisdom. We thank you. We're exalting you, Jesus. You are the wise one. It tells us in 1 Peter 5:4, when we're referring back to verse 9 in our text, this crown of glory, when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So great blessings. We go to verse 10. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. He's speaking about living an obedient life. I was very rebellious from about 16 to 25, and there were many opportunities that it could have been my last day. Not to be dramatic about anything, but knowing the decisions I was making, dark decisions, self-serving decisions, God was gracious, and I thank the Lord for that. And when he says, I'm patient that none should perish, I thank God for his patience, because I became a Christian because he was patient. And he's saving people today. As much as we want to see him, as much as we believe in the rapture of the church, as much as we believe we're living in the last days, we're still about our Father's business, and that is to make him known and to see people come into the kingdom of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Verse 11, I taught you in the way of wisdom. In other words, wisdom is the way, means it's a path, it's a road, it's a journey of life. We're on that journey, the way of wisdom. I've led you in the right path. So there's decisions to make, there's roads to take, and there's roads to stay off of. He lived it, he modeled it. Verse 12, and when you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. And he's telling us about life, things that can trip us up, things that can knock us down. Life is filled with opportunities, but it's filled with dangers too. And we're aware of those. Verse 13, take firm hold of instruction and do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Speaking again, wisdom. When it says keep her, speaking of wisdom, keeping the wisdom. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and rebuke give wisdom. But a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. And we know that to be true, because we see, and we go back to our statistics, 40%, where we see the sadness and the brokenness in the homes. And our young people are being raised without that influence of a dad and of a father. And same-sex marriage is ungodly, unbiblical, and demonic. It's away from God's word. I mean, our laws, I mean, in our nation, obviously there's laws that provide for that. But biblically speaking, it's ungodly behavior. It's destructive. It leads to damnation. And it's sad. And we pray. And we know of people that have been delivered from ungodly lifestyles. There are two paths to go, a narrow path and a Broadway path. Verse 14, do not enter the path of the wicked and do not walk the way of evil. Proverbs 13:20 says, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companions of fools will be destroyed. I'm thankful for wise men older than me that God put in my life, and especially at a young age when I just became a new believer. When I became a new believer in 1978, we were attending a Bible-believing church in Fort Collins, Colorado, and one of the men teaching a Bible study, which he wasn't all that older than me, but he was a professor on the college campus, and I remember, I'm brand new, and he met me in the lobby and before a Bible study and asked me my name, and I gave him my phone number. Remember, no cell phones, nothing like that. And he's teaching through the book of James, and he turns his notes over, and on his notes, I'm sitting up front, is my name and my phone number. And he called me, and he wanted to meet with me. Well, in my life at that time, aside from Jesus, I mean, you're a Bible teacher? You want to meet with me? You do? And God just used him in such an important way at a very young, impressionable time to talk to me about Jesus and to disciple me in many ways. It was a wonderful time. And God has brought in many along the path, and it's a great blessing. We were just meeting with a number of pastors down in Kent Monday and Tuesday, and these are just longtime friends in ministry, like 35 to 40 years walking together in ministry. But we sharpen one another. He who walks with wise men will be wise, and that's a blessing. Wow. 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Verse 15, avoid it. Don't travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. I would say choose your friends wisely. May you be the one to influence them. If you're hanging out with unbelievers, they're going to influence you. I'm going to hang out with those that don't know Jesus, but with an intention for them to know the Lord. But it's very guarded in how much we do. I remember in 65, a song by Barry McGuire. It's called The Eve of Destruction. But you tell me over and over and over again, my friend, and don't you believe we're on the eve of destruction. That was in 1965. And if we were on the eve of destruction in 65, we must be about 10 minutes till midnight right now. Verse 16. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. And as you pay attention to the things going on in the news, and you see the violence in the streets, violence on campus, violence all over the place, and people are just wanting to do wicked things. And they want to do wicked things to join and be a part of a group, the entry ticket into a gang or to a group. Be careful. Not paranoid. Just be careful and be wise. See, be wise. Be wise when you're out. Just be wise. God will give you wisdom. There's things that he'll make known to you. He'll give you a sensitivity and discernment. This doesn't seem right. Seems strange. Don't know what it is. You're not paranoid, but you just, God's gifted you to know that something's not right here. You're making a business decision. Doesn't seem right. Wait till the peace of God that surpasses understanding guards your hearts. Like there's, no, God's given the green light. No, God's given a yellow light. Just hold on, whatever it is, but use your spiritual gifts. People that are your friends, it's great to be on that same road. And I refer to that. We're traveling on a road together. From COVID to where we're at now, we're taking a journey that most of us have never known in our life, but we're on this journey together. And we need to conscientiously make the effort to find friends that are headed in the same direction. People that are looking to be married, your future spouse, your fiance, Are they running with you in the race of life, in the Christian faith, or are they absolutely someplace different? You want to be equal. And in other words, your pursuits of the important things of life, the Lord, are they similar pursuits? Well, she's really just sold out to the Lord. She's a real servant of the Lord, and I like her, and I go to church with her, and it's not going to work. It'll work for a while, but frustration will come. You want to have somebody that has the same passions that you have, like passion. Gifted in different ways, but the passion for God is there. Is there any passion for the Lord and the things of God? Build people up. Lead other people to the Lord. Verse 17, for they eat the bread of wickedness and they drink the wine of violence, but the path of the just is like a shining sun that shines ever brighter on the perfect day. So you know those that are walking in the light. A life lived in the right direction and the right way has direction. People say, I'm looking for direction, but are you living your life in a way that glorifies God? 1 John 1, 6 and 7. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we don't practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from our sins. Verse 19. The way of the wicked is like darkness, and they do not know what makes them stumble. Jesus would say in John 8:12, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And as we approach the last few verses, verse 20, my son, notice the exhortation, give attention. David telling Solomon, Solomon, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my saying. There is a diligent pursuit. You cannot live the Christian life on autopilot. We have to pay attention. God, what are you saying? Jesus said, he who has my commandments and keeps them is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. I'm going to show him. I'm going to give him wisdom. So he's telling us to receive his instruction. Verse 21. And do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. There's different ways to learn. Some are really avid readers. And you read volumes. And you comprehend what you read. I'm a terrible reader. I had to go to special reading school and elementary school and other things there. I learned to memorize. That's how I did things. So I have a good memory. But in terms of reading, I'm an audio learner. So I use audio as my main tool. And many times I'll buy a book, but I'll also buy the audio. So I'm listening and reading at the same time because I want to retain whatever it is I can retain. If I go to a lecture or to someone else's service, I'm going to sit up front because I can listen and watch and learn. That's how I learn. So everybody has a different style of learning. Some love to take notes. Some say, I don't even know where the pencil's at. Others journal, and it's a good thing. That's just some way they journal. They learn well that way. So figure out, find out, I mean, whatever way you learn best, and then really use that method of learning to know God, to know his word. Figure that out and make it work for you. We all learn differently. Some people, they need to be running and listening to something, and they get it. Others just need to be totally quiet and still to learn. Others need to be fiddling with something, moving around, and, you know, but they're learning. And that it's okay. Well, what he's saying to us, and he says, you want to keep this. You want to put it into your heart. Verse 22, for they are life for those who find them and health to the flesh. So he's saying, whatever way, there's different ways of learning. Figure out what's the best way for you to learn. Figure out with your kids. Every one of your children learn differently too. And that's why it's so important not to be so rigid, but just figure out how do they learn. Verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Jesus would say in Matthew 12, 34 and 35, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures bring forth evil things. Everything flows from our hearts. So in my heart, if I have fear, if I have doubts that are in my heart, if I have issues that aren't dealt with, God wants to deal with them because it's out of the heart. Again, the scripture, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. So I'm going to keep my heart. God shows me there's something in my heart that's not right. He tells me in Jeremiah 17, 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And I said, God, you're speaking to me again. God, I just need you to cleanse my heart and to make my heart right, and I desire that. David would pray, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties and see if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Let God into your heart. Do not crowd God out of your life. Someone once said, the unexamined life is a life not worth living. So the Holy Spirit examines us, and we're thankful. He examines my heart. He shines his light on it. It's like, there's some shadows there, boy. You need to repent and get right. And it's like, I want that because I want your wisdom, and I don't want to hinder that, and I don't want to stumble and fall. Verse 24, put away from you a deceitful mouth and perverse lips, far from you. Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:22, flee youthful lust, pursue righteousness. Verse 25, let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Stop living a life with no direction. Take time, reflect, see what God has for you. 26 of Proverbs 4, ponder the path of your feet and let your ways be established. Let God give you focus. Be careful. Do not invest in the things that have no eternal purpose. Be wise. It's good. Certainly in the stewardship of what we have, we want to be good stewards. And we want to see God prosper what we have. Multiply what we have. Making good investments, but the reason is not to enrich our lives, but to be a greater blessing and to be of greater use. Paths, every one of your paths, my life, they lead to a destination. Finally, the last verse, verse 27, do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Say no to sin. Say yes to God. Surrender to Jesus on a daily basis. I try to say as often as I can, sincerely in my heart, Jesus, I need you. I need you. I want you. I need your help. I want you to be my Lord. Thank you for forgiving me and my failures, but I want to keep straight ahead. I want to know you. I want to be useful to others that you may give me the privilege to share your word or wisdom. Hardy's going to come back up. We're going to stand and have one final song. Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you. We ask your blessing over this church family. Ask your blessing over this word. We thank you for the honesty of Solomon and David as given to us through the word of God, men of the flesh, but were used by you as they yielded their life to you. You bless them. You gave wisdom. You gave leadership. You established their lives and their hearts, even in their frailties, even in their sin. And we thank you, God, that you forgive us of our sins. Bless anyone that may be seeking you to know you. Their heart is crying out for forgiveness of sin, for relief from guilt and shame. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. Jesus wants to be and died to be your Savior and Lord. You ask him for forgiveness. You welcome him into your life as Savior and Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.